order the Town of Mountville Town Council regular meeting of June 10th, 2024, to order. And please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, followed by a moment of silence in honor of our military.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Roll call, please.
Here.
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 Present.
Okay, tonight we have a presentation from CLA consultants. Excuse me, let me make sure I get that right. So you did our audit this year, so you have the floor. And if any of the counselors don't have a read along, you can either sit down in front or turn your chair around.
Is this on?
Yeah.
Well, good evening, everybody. Thank you for inviting us. I'm Nicoletta McTighe, principal in charge of the audit. With me is
Stephen Gross. I'm the manager on the engagement.
So we are here to give a short presentation on the audit results for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2023. Thank you for providing the mouse to move the slides along. So we'll go through the audit scope, audit opinions and communication, some industry emerging issues and new standards, and thought leadership and upcoming webinars, and our information is at the end of the presentation. So as far as audit scope goes, we were engaged to express an opinion on the basic financial statements, whether or not they were free of material misstatements, to express an inclination to opinion on the schedule of expenditures of federal wards, also known as CIFA, and schedule of expenditures of state financial assistance, also known as SESFA. Also, we were engaged to provide a report on internal controls over financial reporting and compliance with laws, regulations, contracts, and grants, to express an opinion on compliance related to major federal and state award programs, and report on internal controls over compliance related to major federal and state award programs that we audit. So as a result of our audit, on the left-hand side of the slide, we have audit opinions, and the right side is audit results. So we issue several reports as far as the audit goes. So first one is the financial statements, and we issued a unmodified opinion on the basic financial statement. Unmodified opinion is the highest form of opinion that an entity could get. As far as the federal awards, we expressed an unmodified opinion on the federal awards programs that we audited. And similar to that, for state federal assistance, our opinion was not unmodified on the compliance requirements for state grants that we audited. As I mentioned on the prior slide, we were engaged to report on the internal controls over financial reporting. We did express material weaknesses, we did report material weaknesses on the internal control over financial reporting, and there were no non-compliance findings related to the audit. As far as the federal and state single audits go, both reports were clean as far as internal controls reporting. So there were no material weaknesses identified and no significant deficiencies identified. So both state and federal single audit, all reports were clean with no findings. In the next two slides, we have listed the material weaknesses and some other advisory comments that Steve will go over down in the next two slides.
So we had three material weaknesses. One of them was related to the lack of adequate controls over proper reporting period. It has to do with invoices that were charged to the fiscal year 23, but were recognized in the GL during fiscal year 24. It totaled $2 million, and we posted a correcting entry to make sure those were recorded in the proper period. The next two are kind of go hand in hand. They both relate to the recognition of receivables and deferred inflows on a fund level financial statements. One of them relates to an estimate related to the state of Connecticut bond projects for the school construction. And then the other one relates to the public works facility and the transfer station fund, and that aggregated to 142 grand for those two. And then we have some management letter recommendations. So in the prior year, we noted that the prior year audit did not reconcile to the GL. And this was a result of entries that we made in the previous year, so that would be fiscal year 22, that weren't posted to the GL, so it didn't roll forward to fiscal year 23. The grants revenue should only be recognized to the extent that expenditures occur, which is grant accounting. Journal entries that were provided by the Board of Ed to the town were not properly booked within the town's accounting system, so there was just a miscommunication of the activity between the Board of Ed and the town. And then general fund reporting required significant manipulation by us in order to get the GL to work properly. And one of these, this is a result of the GRB grant, the in and out account, the BOE carryover, and the BOE exchange accounts. These accounts were consolidated into one line item instead of having a revenue line where when money comes in, it's recorded to that line, and having a corresponding expenditure account, making sure the money goes out. So we had to go into the GL and pull out each piece of the revenue and the expense to properly record it within the financial statements. And then we had governance communications. This is communications from us, your auditors, to you, those charged with governance, which is the council. There was one new standard that was adopted during the year that would affect towns and cities. It was GASB 96. It was determined that it was immaterial to record, so the town passed on recording of these entries of GASB 96, which relates to subscription-based IT agreements. In addition, there was no difficulties with dealing with management and performing the audit. For misstatements, there was uncorrected misstatements that was provided to you through a governance communication letter at the end of the audit. For estimates, we had the net pension liability, total OPEB liability. These are considered estimates just because they are based on actuarial calculations, so there's a lot of assumptions that go into those underlying liabilities that if there was a change in those assumptions, it could materially affect those liability amounts. There's also depreciation expense, so the useful life of a asset can be considered 5 years, 10 years, or whatever, so the estimate use of that life of those assets can materially affect the financials as well. Allowance for doubtful accounts for your receivables, IBNR, which is the incurred but not reported liabilities related to health insurance that was incurred during fiscal year 23 but weren't reported to the town until after fiscal year 23, and then the landfill post-closure care obligation. For other items, we had no disagreement with management. Management did not consult with other accountants, and there was no independence issues between us and the town.
So this was a summary of our audit results for June 30th, 2023 year end. In the next couple of slides, there are a couple what's coming up down the pipe as far as the accounting standards and financial reporting standards. So what changes for fiscal year 2024 audits is that the auditing standards 143 through 145 and 148 are going to be implemented, and they are effective for June 30th, 2024 year end. And as a result of implementing those statement of auditing standards, the risk assessment that we do when we audit a client are going to be enhanced and understanding estimates and including the IT, understanding of the IT are going to be, those risk assessments are changing as far as the way we do the audit. So as far as our clients go on, so as far as town is concerned, they are going to see enhanced questions on our end to understand the IT control better, and as a result, it could be as far as the audit work goes, we are going to spend more time to evaluate those controls and it could be a potential for additional recommendation to town based on the risk assessment, the expanded risk assessment that we are going to do as a result of implementing those two, this actually is four of them, segment of auditing standards. And there are several gases coming down the pike in the next three fiscal, I just listed two fiscal years. For 2024, statement 99 is an omnibus statement. This one is not going to have a big effect on the financial statement and reporting. There are some language clarification on the older GASBs. So if they're applicable, they will be implemented as appropriate. And statement 100, accounting changes and error correction. So that's, hopefully we don't have those kind of reporting, but if there are any accounting changes and error corrections, they, we are going to follow the new standard statement 100. So the only, the most notable difference on reporting on statement 100 is going to be that even if there are no error corrections or new GASB's implementations in the current year, but certain funds can become, were major funds in 1 year and they become non-major in the following year or the other way around, those are considered accounting changes and are going to be reported, and emphasis of matter paragraph will be added into the financial statements to say what those changes were. As far as year 25 goes, statement 101, compensated absences will be implemented. Compensated absences are an existing liability for the town, but there are some new requirements with GASB 101, and that will require the town to evaluate the compensated absences policies and how they are calculated and reported. As far as statement 102 goes, will be disclosures related to certain risk disclosures, certain risks that the town might have, such as concentration of the risks. Like for example, if a town uses one major vendor and something happens to that vendor, what will the impact be on the town? So those type of disclosures are going to be included in financial statements when statement 102 is implemented. Any GASB statements have all the impact that we have to identify the relevant, to review the relevant documents, update disclosures as applicable, a lot of work from management at the same time too to make sure that those new GASBs are implemented correctly. So GASB is always busy and never leaves us alone. So CLA is the biggest accounting, governmental accounting and auditing firm, not just only in the state of Connecticut, but actually in the country. And as the biggest firm, we are an ongoing source for thought leadership through seminars, articles, webinars, and all different kind of resources. So if you use a QR code or go under the CLAconnect.com website and select inside, select governmental, state and local government industry, you will be brought to a page where it has a lot of information, articles, as I mentioned, webinars that you can follow. You can subscribe to get updates and all that. So feel free to go to the Visit CLA website for insights on what's new on related to governance. And here is just if there are any questions, feel free to ask them, any feedback, same thing. Doesn't have to be today, could be continuous, can be later. You can reach to us, and the contact information is on the very last slide. My contact information and Steve's information, so you can reach with any questions or concerns that you might have throughout.
Yeah, I have one. This should be able to get a bit of an answer. Why did this audit take so long?
The audit took long because there was change in the finance department. So Steve mentioned all those findings. So basically, the audit took long because of all those things that would have to be taken care of. There were change in the finance office people that, you know, when other people came, things were not done correctly or were done late. So we had to kind of go back and relook at things. And it takes a lot to finish an audit if you just leave things and pick them up and let them aside again and pick them up again. Because, and then any changes are done. So I believe with the people in place, I've been around for a full year now, that things, we believe, will go better for fiscal year 2024.
Yeah, for the most part, it's just the changeover in the town's finance department with Terry and Pam both leaving those roles. There were just a lot of knowledge that was left, and there was also a period of time that there wasn't a finance director or treasurer in place. So with that, like, you know, Barbara had to come in, kind of grapple what was going on currently, making sure all the bills get paid still, but also, you know, wrapping up the audit.
Well, we also had
thank you
the treasurer and accounts payable.
Yes. So So
could all the council get a copy of this presentation? Is it possible?
We send
Barbara has it, so she can pour it along.
Okay. Yeah, I think. So I don't know if you want to go back to the summary. I had a couple of, I just wanted to kind of go over a couple of things. Maybe you could explain it. It's early in the slide. You had the summary of all the probably discrepancies you found.
I have one copy if you want to look at it real quick.
Sure. You guys have questions you can ask. I'm just looking something up.
No, Joe kind of asked my question.
So when you go back to misstate uncorrected misstatements, several audit adjustments were proposed and then corrected by management. It seems like there was a lot of, dotting the I's, crossing the T's that weren't being done. Is that the best way to put it? Or was there something you guys identified? I mean, just explain kind of what that was about.
So those uncorrected misstatements typically are above our clearly trivial, but they're below our planning materiality. So that means we deem that they are significant enough, but not enough to warrant a misleading financial statement.
Okay.
A lot of those items relate to GASB 96 implementation, where they weren't large balances. They wouldn't affect your decisions as users of the financials. There's also a couple other items, such as search for unrecorded, where there was invoices that were recorded to the wrong period, but there weren't enough within that specific opinion unit to consider putting a adjusting entry through. It's just a couple items like that.
Okay, what about the Board of Ed? There was some issues between reporting things that the Board of Ed had sent or something of that effect.
So that was a management letter comment. So here the town and the Board of Ed are consolidated in one general fund. So the entries between the Board of Ed and the town weren't reported properly because the Board of Ed is on one financial system and the town is on another financial system. So when that happens, the Board of Ed has to send over information to the town so it can get booked into their system. And when that occurred, not all the entries were booked because, like I said before, there was some turnover in the finance department. And the people who knew how to book those entries were no longer there. So not all the entries were booked properly like they were in the previous years.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Sorry.
Yeah. Are we all set now? You think that we're going to be okay? Come going on the new year, once we have people all established in their positions, we should be okay.
I hope so. Like, we won't know until we get
until
in.
Until
you
audit again. Kate, you have any questions? Mayor? Anybody from this end?
No, I'm all set.
Well, thank you very much. Very informative, and I look forward to, I guess.
Thank you.
Barbara, you have the presentation. You're going to send it to us?
Yes, I will.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, alterations to the agenda.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to add Montville Public Schools a letter from Laurie Palin asking for $205,611.5 in the 2022-2023 Board of Education budget. This showed it was due to unanticipated expenses for outplaced special education students and related transportation costs. Everybody has a copy in front of you. So, but I just wanted to make sure, I'd like to put that on the agenda and make it as up 16H.
I have a motion and a second.
Oh, I need a second.
I'll second that.
All right. Any discussion? All right. All in favor to add 16H to the agenda, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
And we have any other alterations to the agenda?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to add item 16I. The town of Montville hereby resolves to waive the general rule regarding the prohibition of the sale of alcoholic beverages at any time or in any form on town park and recreational areas as stated in rules and regulations for the Camp Oakdale Fair Oaks facilities dated April 2000 for the 2024 Farmers Market events.
So I'll second that. So we discuss it for purposes of discussion.
So we can discuss it more in total during the thing. So any more discussion? All in favor to add 16I to the agenda, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none. All right, those are added. When we get there, because you got the verbiage, I'll have you read it again. Consider an act on a motion to approve the regular meeting minutes of May 13th, 2024.
I'm moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
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 The special meeting minutes of May 30th, 2024.
So move.
Second.
Any discussion? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? All right. Consider an act on a motion to enter into executive session for the purpose of discussing union contract negotiations, discussions to include members of the town council, Mayor Leonard Bunnell Sr., Attorney Christy Kelly, Montville Police Chief Wilford Blanchett.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Note the time. It's 7:22. Okay, out of executive session at 8:04.
No votes were taken.
No votes were taken.
Thank you.
At this time, remarks from the public relating to matters on the agenda with a 3-minute limit, please.
Ann Gullett, 64 DeMotto Drive. I just want to thank everybody for what they did to help get the bond for the animal shelter, whether they did emails, or they did calls, or they did texts, or sent letters, or whatever they did. I just want to thank everyone in the audience. Let's see, Representative Cheeseman is here. The day is here. Thank you. I don't know anyone from the Montville Animal Shelter community team. I just want to thank them. It's been a dream come true. Also, we're hoping that there's a timeline that's going to come out and that we can continue to share everything with the town. And the same thing with the bid. We're hoping that that we will be able to keep the bid and move with the shelter in as fast as possible because we're very excited about it. But thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Very nice. Thank you.
Anyone else? Remarks from the public?
Linda Tomasic, P.O. Box 407, Montville, Connecticut.
I have a couple questions, and I know you can't answer me right now, but it's in regards to the budget. As Council Jaskowitz can tell you, we spent an hour and a half together going over the budget, and we still have problems in the paperwork. Also, it's been very hard to follow because the minutes from all the Finance Committee have not been put online to follow. The transactions in many cases have been wrong onto the agenda, onto the budget. I don't know if it's canceling everything right now, but I think that you guys need to really look at the paperwork before we just pass paper on, and we have bigger problems in the long run trying to fix them. Thank you.
Thank you.
And last call for remarks from the public.
Good evening, Lori Palin, Superintendent, Montville Public Schools. I'd like to speak on agenda item 16G. I am very appreciative of the meeting which Kathy Lamoureux and I had with Council Chair Tim May and Barbara Griffin last week. We had a very productive meeting. At that meeting, we discussed the funds which the town of Montville has received from the state for the excess cost grant payments and education cost sharing payments. The total of unanticipated excess cost and ECS revenue received from the state to help pay for education costs is $360,440. These funds were not accounted for as revenue in the town's budget. I urge you to support tonight's motion to allocate an additional $360,440 to the board to help make the difference between the town's appropriation of $44,883,000 and our budget request of $45,342,000. While we will still need to make up about $100,000 in reductions to our budget, applying this additional money to our budget will ensure we do not need to cut positions and we can preserve most of our essential services. This will help us greatly as we try to successfully transition from the ARP-ESSER grant to move positions into our budget. I really appreciate your listening, and I hope you will consider that request. And just let me also just mention, Councilor Jaskowitz talked about adding agenda item 16H. That is for the 22-23 budget, which we, as you know, we've talked a number of times, had a shortfall. And that was notification to you that we are using the 2% non-lapsing account to make up that shortfall. Again, the delay in that was due to the delay in the timing of the audit. Thank you,
Superintendent. I just want to say this may be the last time you come to a town council meeting.
It may.
If everything goes well. And I believe your last day is probably close to the end of June. So I'd like everybody to say congratulations and good job on your retirement and happy retirement.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Evening. I'm going to be brief. State Representative Holly Cheeseman. I won't echo what Ann said. It's incredibly gratifying to be able to work with everyone and get that bond for the animal shelter. I look forward to its completion. I know the town is anticipating another CIF grant, and I've committed to the mayor and to this council. I will work with both the town and DCD to get you a fair shake at that CIF grant. I think that's a great proposal for economic development. And with regard to your superintendent who's departing, I too want to thank her. And again, I will continue to work with the delegation to ensure the state meets its responsibility and fully funding those excess cost sharing grants, because I know what a burden the special ed costs are in the towns, and the state needs to step up. So thank you. Thank you, everyone. It's an honor to serve, and I hope I'll be back the next 2 years to serve you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, last call. All right, moving on. Communications. Everyone received a copy of the May 2024 financial reports from Finance Director Barbara Griffin, copy of legal bills from Sussman and Shapiro for the month of April 2024, and copy of the legal bills from Helleron and Sage for the month of April 2024. Did everyone receive those in your package? Reports from town attorney on matters referred. I don't believe we have anything.
No report.
At this time, remarks from the mayor and or administrative department heads.
I'd like to start off with the department heads, and we'll start with the finance department. Director Griffin.
Good evening all. Barbara Griffin from the finance office. Just a few things on my coming from my office. As soon as that grant became finalized on Friday, Mayor received an email instantly, and we are going to begin the process. This morning, we already, both of us, tuned into what was called Urban Act Next Step webinar. We were introduced to people we would be working with at the state. Part of that presentation said that we will have a project manager assigned now that we do have the $2 million committed. I'm filling out a client intake form. It's due tomorrow, and that gets the ball rolling. So that's where we are right now. I'm not going to speak to anything other than the financing, which I'll be covering out of my office, but anything I can help with in terms of whatever is done, you know, physically with the project, whatever direction that goes in, I'm there to help with whatever's needed, but mostly I'm on the financial side. Couple of other things. Our tax collector submitted a letter of resignation. Human Resources has already put out advertisement for the position, so we're hoping to fill that with a qualified candidate as soon as possible. If need be, we may need temp help in July. We're not sure yet. We've got our assistant tax collector. We'll be able to cover. She'll continue with her regular duties of collecting taxes. So we do have a fair amount of time till we get to July 1, and we'll assess between now and then what kind of help we might need in there, and hopefully get someone on board very, very quickly. So other things going on, I received from Chief Turner the RFP for the Montville Pumper M12. That was the $850,000 approved as a lease purchase. This was a year ago in that budget. So he did provide me with the RFP. I'll be putting that out to bid. And then when that comes back, we'll be working through the steps. We'll have to do a resolution for the lease purchase. We'll have to look for the financing at that time. Shouldn't cost us anything yet in this fiscal year, because the financing will be such that there'll be a payment a year after we actually get into the financing, after we commit to whatever company or firm we are doing the financing with. I think that might be what I have to cover right now. Anybody have any questions?
Thank you.
Next, I'd like to call up the our land use director, Matt Davis.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. Nice to be back. Thanks for having me. Let's see, we got a number of things that we're going to go over. This kind of carries forward on the list that we had from your last council meeting, from the last report. Some of the things did drop off. because they were taken care of, resolved. But some of these will be familiar to you. Certainly the first one, the animal control facility. So we will be meeting this week with the architect to take a look at the bids that were received last December to just make sure that those numbers are still valid. So that'll take place this week. Obviously, if they're still valid, there's some decisions that, you'll have to make. If there are issues or concerns, I think it's probably a question of order of magnitude, for lack of a better term. But we'll have better information by the end of this week on that for you. So that's the animal control facility. Mohegan Dam removal, we're still waiting for some technical analysis. That seems to have gone a little dormant. I'll have to contact DEP and see what the status of that is. The Norwich Golf, I call it the Norwich Golf Course Dam. It's really not their dam by any means, but it's adjacent to their golf course up in the north end of town here. And that's up on Trading Cove Brook. So the dam is on the west side of 32, just adjacent to 32. And the DEP Fisheries Department has money already set aside that they would like to allocate towards this project. There's no land immediately affected in Montville. There are some Mohegan lands as well as obviously the lands in Norwich. So they've asked us to support that project. We've discussed it with the mayor. I took a look at the site with the town engineer last week after the meeting that we had with fisheries and the golf course folks, and we don't see any reason why we wouldn't at least support it, send a letter in for their application when they get to that point. So just we'll keep you up to speed on where that is. May have some benefits in terms of the flooding on New London Turnpike. Hard to say at this point until they do the the analysis and look at the hydraulics and come up with some hard numbers, but it likely will have some beneficial effect on that as well. Also happy to report that the Community Investment Fund planning grant application was submitted today. I got that done a little bit ahead of time. The deadline is June 21st, so we'll supplement that with just a few more photos of some of the study areas. So it's nice to have that done and completed. As I had said previously, they won't be picking successful applicants until sometime in the early fall. So that'll kind of go dormant, so to speak, for a little while. And we'll be back here, hopefully, in the fall to let you know that we've received approval for that. The pier project is going forward with permitting. The DEP did ask for some in-water survey of submersed vegetation. This is the standard requirement that DEP has for in-water construction. I spoke to the town engineer. He doesn't anticipate that that'll create any problems. Any impacts would be clearly de minimis and related just to the pier structures themselves. So that work is scheduled to take place next week, weather permitting. Once that's done, then DEP permitting can proceed, hopefully with due speed. State C&D plan. The state has a conservation and development plan similar to what the town and the region has. So they're updating their current version. I took a look at the recommendations, and there were some fairly significant changes that we felt needed to take place. Mostly in what they call their locational guide map. The policies are basically the policies, and we don't have any particular issues with the policies. But the map itself is oftentimes used as a kind of a checkpoint for consistency analysis when towns and cities go for grants and for other kinds of purposes. So I informed the chair of the Planning and Zoning Commission, and we sent up comments up to OPM last week. To get those in. So I'll check back with them to make sure that those changes are going to take place on that map so it accurately portrays existing and planned conditions in certain areas of town, particularly on 32 and up 163 Oxabaxo in that area. There's a regional open space plan update that's also occurring. I know that Chairman May had asked that I refer that over to the Conservation Commission. I did the next day. They've been taking a look at it. I don't know what their status is. I do know that there is a deadline for them to get comments back to the regional for that, so I'll circle back with them this week.
Yeah, there's some a few changes, or not changes, there's some deltas from what was on that map that you sent and the actual open space map.
Okay.
I just think that just, should be in your files. It's your map. It's
okay.
On your computer, so to speak.
Okay. I'll check with the chair this week.
He's here tonight.
So okay, we'll check with him after the meeting.
Sure.
New London Turnpike sidewalks, just a small project up by Norwich. I want to thank the mayor for his assistance with that. He's kind of filling in a little bit. I understand we're getting appraisals for one of the takings that needs to take place for that. And that's a collaborative project. It's basically the city of Norwich's project. And then we have a small piece of it on the Montville side, so to speak. So I don't know if the mayor has anything else to add on status, but
no, there's just two pieces of property that we're getting the report done on. That should be here by the end of the week, I think.
Good, excellent. Thank you again. And then the last thing is there was a grant that I believe was given to us by the DOT back in 2019 called, they call it the Community Connectivity Grant. And it had to do with some multi-use paths, trails, sidewalks, whatever you want to call them, on Route 32. And it went kind of sideways, I think, when there was some design issues at 163 and 32. And then at that point, everything just kind of got tossed over to the side. DOT asked us if we were still interested in the money. We said yes. So they had to basically get a letter from us and give us an extension, so to speak. So we're going to try to revive that project. I'm going to meet with CLA, our engineer, and make some initial contacts with DOT to kind of reinitiate, look what we can do with the scope, if we have to adjust the scope in some way, and just try to move that ball forward for that grant as well.
Is that the one proposing bike paths on Route 32?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah. So that's all I had. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
I guess going back to the animal shelter, you said you're going to meet with the architect, and right now a lot of the bids that came back last time were, like last September, came back, they were upwards of 2.9 to 3.7 million. As you know, we have 2.6 million, right. So I'm pretty sure those bids are no longer valid, but they're past 90 days. So we got to start looking at that and make sure we can get that budget.
Yeah, my understanding is, and again, this is kind of predates me, but that in December there were 9 bids received, December 7th of 23. Some of those were probably some of the high bids that you were talking about. I think they contacted maybe 3 or 4 of the bidders. The top end, I think, might have been maybe 2.9, 2.6, somewhere around in there. There was a 2.3 and around in there. So we'll meet with the architect on Thursday. We'll, you know, get some feedback from them about what they think, you know, the best course is. I'm sure they do want to check the numbers, and I think that's the prudent thing to do, obviously. So we'll do that, and depending upon what they come back with, then we'll have maybe some options or paths as to how to go forward from there. So,
thank you. Questions?
No. All set?
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you
Matt.
Very much.
Thank you. Next, I'd like to call up the police chief, Manchette.
Good evening, Bill Blanchett, Chief of Police. Just a couple of things. First off, to everybody that's here, congratulations on the new pound that's going up. I'd like to give a thank you to the council, the mayor, our state and local officials that assisted, Ann Gallen and Rebecca Maurice. Thank you very much for championing this and being loud and getting what you needed. So It's coming to fruition. We're working on that. In the meantime, just to give you a heads up, I've been speaking with the mayor at what we can do to make our animals a little bit more comfortable. Obviously, the water's been tested numerous times, not only from the well, but from the tap, just to make sure the water is potable, just so you know, the water's potable. I called for another inspection. Our last inspection was in December of 23. The state animal control officer came out, did the inspection on the pound, and we had 6 violations. Obviously, we know they're grandfathered in, but since December, we're down to 2 violations. We have obviously some issue with the crumbling walls, things that we really can't work on at this time because they're walls. And but the cleanliness of the facility, the sanitation, everything else is cleaned up. So I think as far as the animal control facility goes, right now, it's a viable option for us to maintain until the new facility is built. So that's all I have.
Thank you for all your hard work and Officer Rebello's work to try to make it more livable. And you know, we've got problems with the air, we've got problems with the walls, which is why we're at where we're at.
Yes, sir.
But at least we've done a lot of work on that.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you for everything.
Thank you.
We have the Public Works Director here.
Yeah, Public Works Director John Carlson.
John Carlson, Public Works Director for the Town of Montville. We are currently have 4 mowers on the road at this time. Mowing the grass is growing very fast. We are receiving a few complaints for sightline issues. I address them as they come in. There is plans starting the end of this month. The Oxbow Dam Road and Route 163 sightline improvement will be started. That should be a big improvement for the large pavilion, never mind just being able to pull out on Oxbow Dam Road. The columns at the large pavilion have come out nice. We're currently working on getting some bids for the roof, siding, and some painting to be done at the large pavilion. We are trying to fix some of the current animal control shelter does have some OSHA violations. I'm currently working on those to try to get those fixed for OSHA regulations. One of them is grates for the drains. You know, the drains have been there very long, so they have to be custom made. So we should hopefully have that by the end of this month done. We've been working on Rich Lane, trying to fix some drainage out there that's been not probably working for quite a few years. Maple Avenue, I'm trying to get at least a small piece of it paved to make it better for everybody from 32 to the 395 overpass. I've spoken with the WPCA. The only reason I can't go further is because they have more work to do even after this is done by removing the purple hydrants that you see on Maple Avenue. Those need to be removed before we can continue on paving. So, but we can at least do a little section of it. I know it's very rough. I have looked at possibly doing like a shim coat just to try to smooth it out a little bit. But that'll be discussed when they're pretty much final done. I'm also looking to Oakchester Road, and after Fourth of July weekend, that'll be closed at around the area of 317. We have to replace a 4-foot pipe that's in the road. It rotted, and it is currently the base has lifted and created a block. And it's undermining the road, so that has to be done, and the only way to do it is close it. Because of the size of the hole, they have to dig. It's just not safe, and the machinery they're going to bring in is, and it would be a lot quicker as a closure than it would be trying to do one lane at a time. Those are things that we're going to expect. I did have an issue with the paver on Moxley Road. There's a section that, for some reason, fell apart pretty quick. They are going to come in and fix that for free. So that's not an issue. I know I've gotten a few phone calls on that. And we're looking at paving Oakchester Road Extension sometime this summer. And once we're done with Rich Lane, I hope to move to Driscoll Drive. In the future, I will be coming to the council asking for another bond for another $7 million to $10 million. And part of it, though, the biggest part of the bond is really going to be not paving, but per se, we need to do some drainage work. After all the rains in the spring, we found a lot of our weaknesses, a lot of our problems, and we need to address them before I start paving roads. Because if I pave the roads, I'm still going to have the same problem as I have in the past. And the Lathrop development's probably one of the developments that really needs to be addressed. And the manor is probably next. Part of the problem is, as most of you know, steel pipe is only good for 70 years. Most of these developments are getting close to that 70-year mark. And that steel pipe is not really doing very well. So.
You're talking about the water pipe, right?
Drainage.
Oh, drainage.
Drainage, not water. No, just drainage pipe. A lot of the drainage pipe in the manor is steel. You know, we used to have to make minor repairs as we could, but, you know, this stuff just, it's only got a 70-year lifespan, and they only give plastic a 70-year lifespan, but we all know that lasts forever. So, but these are one of the sad truths about not being able to see what's underground. And the Maple Avenue project has actually brought to light a couple of issues with our cross culverts that go from catch basin to catch basin that have been compromised from past contractors that were never inspected. And they are actually fixing them for us with our supplies. So it's made a big benefit for us too in some respects. So, any other questions?
How long is Old Colchester Road going to be closed for when it closes? Do we have a rough
We're expecting a week, weather providing. I mean, it's really all weather. He says if I get a clear week, he says I'm going to work 10-hour days and I should be done within a week. And back to at least dirt if I can't get it paved. It'll be dirt by the weekend. So.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yep. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, John. As far as my report goes, I'm continuing with the contract negotiations. On the 22nd of May, I attended the 143rd commencement exercises for the U.S. Coast Guard, and it made me appreciate even more our military services, and it made you proud to witness that ceremony. I continue to attend as many committee and commission meetings as possible. On June 1st, I attended the Holland ceremony, which the Holland Ceremony is a club that's named for John Holland, the designer of the first United States Navy submarine. It's an exclusive group with the core requirement for eligibility to, as designation qualified in submarines, for a minimum of 50 years. And I attended that ceremony with Chairman May. And Chairman, do you want to say a few words about?
Yeah, I did. It's, as you pointed out, I was qualified in submarines, and I still have about 10 more years to go before I'm eligible. My old boss, I'll call him out, is Mark Stone, senior chief when I was at sub school. He may be getting close to that Holland mark soon. But I want to point out a couple of town people that were there. They got the Holland recipient, and that was Tom Grove, and another one was William Dwyer. So those are people that I want to say congratulations. It's a huge, a lot of the people that are up there, they got their Dolphins and probably 1972, 1974. So it kind of puts that in perspective. You know, it doesn't seem like that was 50 years ago, but I just want to say congratulations to Tom Grove and William Dwyer, Montville residents of the Holland Club. Thank you.
I was really honored to be part of that, and it kind of opened my eyes to the service that the our Navy does with the submarine retirees. Good job by those guys, and thank you for your service. On June 4th, I presented some retiring teachers with certifications. Bethany Bonner has served the Board of Education as a teacher from August 28th of 2000 to June of 24 for a period of 24 years. We presented her with a certificate from the mayor's office, and Kathy Gustafson has served the Montville Board of Education as a teacher from August of 95 to June of 24 for a period of 29 years. Heather Sangramano did not get her certificate. I will be presenting that to her later on. She served the Montville Board of Education as a principal and a teacher from January of 13 to June of 24 for a period of 11 years. We appreciate the service and the contributions to the town of Montville by all three. I also presented, attended the Superintendent Palin's retirement, we'll call it a gathering. That was on the 6th, and presented Superintendent Palin with a proclamation. She served the Board of Education as a teacher, a department head, and director of curriculum, and assistant superintendent, and finally as superintendent from 1992 to 2024 for a period of 32 years. And that kind of service is hard to replace. And again, Laurie, thank you for your service. And on June 3rd, we had Carol Bunnell retired. Yes, she's related. She retired with 25 years as the Parks and Rec administrative superintendent. And we were able to hire a real solid replacement, Eva Aller. She started on the 3rd, and she's already working by herself. She's doing a great job. I also want to extend a thank you to our resigning tax collector, Karen Gauthier. She kind of sends a message here. She left for more money, a lot more money, to another town doing the same job. And I want to thank her for her time that she served with the town of Montville. And as the finance director reported, I took part in the state webinar today with Barbara, and we got an outlining of the use and reporting requirements for this new state aid for the animal control facility, and there's a whole lot more than I ever anticipated. It's going to be a big job, but it's going to be well worth it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. All right, reports from standing committees. Town administration rules and procedure.
No meeting.
Finance, we had our big meeting last week to approve our budget. And on tonight, you all know we had the special education fund coming up, and then the other funding that we need to pay for last year's budget. So those will be discussed in more detail. Public Works, solid waste.
Okay, I'm going to speak on Councilor Karen's behalf. So Director Carlson, you stole my large pavilion thunder that the columns are done and they're moving into phase two of the project there. Also, it's going to be presented to TARP to eliminate the 15% bid for town-owned companies and purchasing policy. So if two companies bid on a job, the out-of-town company has a lowest bid, but the in-town company, if it's within 15% of lowest bid, they can take the job from the low bid out-of-town company. And this is something that is going to be going to TARP to be looked at and possibly changed. And finally, we had a couple of townspeople come in to talk about the Trex project. That one of those people was Flo from the transfer station. And basically what it is a collection and baling of plastic, and then they pay us 14 cents a pound. They pick it up when it's at 20,000 pounds, and it goes back to their warehouse, and we get about $2,800 for those 20,000 pounds. They lease us a baler, and we use part of the money that we get from that plastic to pay it off. And so we're going to be looking into that. That was a great project to be brought before Public Works.
Great. Is that it?
That's it.
Thank you. Reports from special committees and liaison. Councilor Karen is absent. Councilor Jaskowitz, Board of Education, Planning and Zoning Commission.
Well, I want to thank Matt for giving my presentation for Planning and Zoning. But for the Board of Ed, there's another thing I want to bring up for Laurie. 2%, I mean the letter that we're going to vote on tonight, And also, she highlighted the fact that the Board of Education of Montville got a big grant for the air conditioning. Am I correct? $22 million, in fact. The second largest in the state. Did I write them notes down right, Laurie?
Second largest in the state is about $15.5 million.
How much?
$15.5 million.
Okay, thank you. So I wrote the notes wrong. Thank you. That's it.
All right. Thank you. Councilor Lathrop, Economic Development and Water Pollution Control Authority.
Economic Development Committee was canceled due to a lack of a quorum. Water Pollution Control Authority was canceled also. But we did get some pictures from Ron McDaniel down there and Derek Albertson that the Cook Water Tower is moving along nicely. A little bit of an update on the Rand Whitney container board line. There was a rupture. I think it was Saturday night at like 2 in the morning. Crews responded quickly. They put a bypass in, but it leaves us with the last leg of that project, showing the urgency to get that up and going. We'll be talking about that. We have an emergency meeting this Thursday about that. But crews got everything up and running that night and got everything going by. So kudos to them for their hard work on that.
All right. Councilor Sebelia, Conservation Commission and Public Safety, and Youth Service Bureau Advisory Board.
Conservation Commission, on June 1st, they held their Trails Day event. That was at the Conservation Center. 8 members of the public attended, including children who participated in the scavenger hunt. The event was well advertised via social media, through the schools, and on the electronic signs throughout town. They're hoping to grow the event more in the future. The commission will also have an information booth for the June 25th Community Day at the Montville Farmers Market, so make sure you check that out. Public Safety Commission, wasn't able to attend the meeting, but I have a few things. They had a badge pinning ceremony for our 2 new career firefighters in town, Joshua Braga and Noah Dombrowski. Lieutenant Radford also reported total statistics from the distracted driving grant that expired because it was for the month of April. Just so you know how much they're out there, police officers conducted 452 stops over a period of 20 days and 249 hours. So the multiple stops were more about education and teaching rather than enforcement, just trying to get rid of the distracted driving behavior. The fire marshal also reported he's coordinating him and career staff. It's called the File of Life magnet, and basically it gets stuck to a refrigerator, and it includes address, phone number, physician name, preferred hospital, medical conditions, things like that. Approximately 100 of them were given to Kathy Peck, and 80 will be given to those residing in senior housing when they conduct inspections. Fire Marshal Barnes just noted that the information is beneficial for those who are incapacitated, have dementia, Alzheimer's, or who are unconscious. So firefighters and EMTs know to check the refrigerators. So youth services, their summer program is full with a waiting list. They also started after-school program registration for existing families. That closes June 12th. New families who are interested in the after-school program for next year, registration begins June 17th. Their counseling services have been very full. They expect this trend to continue throughout the summer. They use federal opioid funds to support a summer contract with Project Courage, which works through the schools. They provide substance use, misuse, and addiction counseling services to the middle and high school students. The federal opioid funds will also continue to support the UNCUS Health Van, which is weekly at the town hall. They're also using the funds to keep the police and first responders supplied with Narcan, so it's good use of them. The Health Van also offers tick and mosquito-borne illness education and tick removal testing. They wanted to remind you it's the season, so be aware. They also hoping to secure a contract with Blue Sky Wellness, which will provide substance use, misuse, and addiction counseling services to veterans and other adults in our community. Look for that. That'll be hopefully just by August. They also redid the crosswalk at the Fair Oaks Community Center, and the Youth Action Council did that. It looks great. Juvenile Review Board grant is being renewed for next year, and DCF grant funding will reset July 1st, which is about 40 grand, so they make good use of those funds. And that's it.
Good job. Good report. Okay, appointments and resignations. Consider an act of motion to appoint Vice M.
Mr. Chair.
I'm sorry.
Excuse me. I believe that Ms. Southard would like to report in the Farmers Market Library Committee and Parks and Rec.
I very much would.
I'm sorry. I was getting ahead of myself.
Okay, so Farmers Market Committee, the Farmers Market opens on the 18th from 4 to 7. Right now we have four food trucks. The band is called the Visions Trio, and we're expecting to have about 30 vendors set up that night. We're going to be trying some different things, some new things. I think it's looking to be a really, really great season. The Library Committee, we are meeting next week, so there has been no meeting. And the Parks and Recreation Committee, so there's a lot going on right now. So the carnival is this weekend, starts at 5 o'clock on Friday, 5 to 10, Saturday 12 to 10, Sunday 12 to 5. Fireworks are Saturday night. There will be bands every day and lots of entertainment, free things for the kids to do on Saturday. And we have a new ride vendor, so things are a little different this year with the cost of the rides, and you know that's to be expected, new ride vendor, new rules, so we're going to see how that goes. We have very high hopes, though, for this vendor. The rides are much better than the old company. Okay, members of the Parks and Recreation Commission are in process of their yearly walk-arounds. That's when every commissioner is assigned a park within the town to go and, I don't want to say inspect, but they walk around and they take notes, and that will all be turned over to Director Carlson, all of their findings. And finally, the planning for the summer camp is in full swing. Most of the camp counselors have been hired. Director Bushway is very pleased with the folks that he's interviewed and hired for the positions. They begin their training on the Tuesday, so that would be the June 18th. They'll start training for this year's summer camp. And that's it. Thank you. I
apologize again.
Mm-hmm. I'll remember that.
Appointments and resignations. To consider an act on a motion to appoint Vice M. Fonville, Sr. to the Youth Advisory Board with a term to expire on June 10th, 2026.
Second.
Any discussion? All right. Roll call vote, please.
Favor.
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 Favor. 6-0 in favor. Consider an act on a motion to appoint Scott D. Soddenberg to fill the vacancy on the Gardner Lake Authority with a term to expire on November 11th, 2025.
So move.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Favor.
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 Favor. 6-0 in favor. Consider an act on a motion to reappoint Michael Maglanio to senior to the Gardner Lake Authority with a term to expire on July 13th, 2027.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Favor.
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 Favor. 6-0 in favor. All right, consider an act of motion to discuss the progress of the animal control facility.
What are we doing? Are we going
we need it
out to bid again? I know we said
we need a second and a whatever.
Okay, so moved.
Second.
Also, yeah.
All right. Discussion, please.
I heard we're checking with the architect to see if the numbers were correct. Do we mean the previous bids we
the previous bids, correct.
6 months ago?
That's right.
Okay.
We're gonna check on those bids to see if they're still good. We'll contact the individual contractors, and we'll follow up. We've got a lot of work to do with that. Prices go up. We've got no control of that. We want to make sure.
So
we got $2.5 million, $2.6 million.
So if the bids come back or they say those bids are no longer valid, how long is it going to take to put it back out to bid, or is that the plan?
I don't have a time limit, but that'll be the plan, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't give you a schedule. If that's what you're looking for.
No, I'm just looking that we keep things moving and go as quickly as we can. That's
well,
what
you know, I can only tell you that We are moving it forward.
Okay.
We have been moving it forward. We'll continue to move it forward. I'm working on a lot of things, not just the new facility, but I've been taking care of things like the water report that we were told we're killing dogs from. We found out there was no problem with that water. I got a report here from the Uncas Health that said the dog pound water is served by a private well. The water test analysis report from the Phoenix Labs was absent both E. coli and coliform. The sodium guidance level for private wells is 100 milligrams, and the test detected a level of 42.9. It's not a public well, so it goes by different guidelines. Report that was given to us was from 2001 on a well that was no longer in use. And the sign's been removed, so at least we know that this water source is still good. It may not taste the greatest, but it's a good well, and no dogs died.
Any other discussion?
Let me just take that one step further. I just want to thank everybody that was involved in the that stood up and spoke up for this much-needed facility. I've always believed we needed it, and it'll get done. It's going to get done. And if it wasn't for everybody speaking up so loudly and strong, such as Senator Austin and Senator Marks, Representative Ryan, Representative Cheeseman, and Representative McCarty, they did us right, and we're going to get it done. Wednesday is a press release at the animal control facility, the existing facility, by the Lieutenant Governor, be attendance, plus all of our delegates, to make the official announcement, and just to be clear of our intentions. It's happening.
10 a.m. on Wednesday, if you want to go.
10 a.m.
All right, moving on to new business. The town of Mountville hereby resolves to refund taxes due to overpayments and corrections in the amount of $887.96, as requested by the tax collector.
No move.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Favor.
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 Favor. 6-0 in favor. Item B, the town of Mountville hereby resolves to transfer $42,000 from general fund to capital non-reoccurring account 20999-54085, tile roof.
Second.
May I have a second, please?
Second.
All right. Discussion? All right. Roll call, please.
Favor.
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 Favor. 6-0 in favor. Item C, the town of Mountville hereby resolves to approve wages for part-time employees as indicated on Schedule A.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion?
I think this is something that we'll address later on the top committee, because I see only one particular part-timer. Oh, you want to say something, Barbara?
Yeah, do you want me to speak to that one?
Go ahead.
Go ahead. I think everyone's aware, but go ahead.
You sure?
Sure. Yeah. Come up and address.
All right. You got that schedule in front of you, and it looks like there's a lot of matrix here, but what happened is three employees on this list received really huge bumps in pay when the state of Connecticut started increasing the minimum wage. So that has kind of carried forward. They got a huge bump, we're going with minimum wage. There was another minimum wage increase on 1/1/24. So the people who are getting minimum wage got a 4.6% bump on January 1st. There were a few people on this list, two positions, that were set at a dollar over minimum wage. And so I continued with that convention, and that gives them, as of
this July 1st a 4.3. They're up to 16.69. That leaves six employees who don't fall into either of those other two categories. So I just did a column with 1.5%, 2%, 2.5%. I used those because sometimes there's a convention to kind of track with what contracts are doing for non-contract people. The only contract that is not in negotiation is one that is getting 1.5% on July 1. So that was the only thing I was able to compare it to. So it's kind of up to you whether you want to use a 1.5, 2, or 2.5, or something else. And you could always set something now and make an amendment.
We need
halfway through the year.
It's not what the resolution. It says the resolution is to approve wages on Schedule A, and it sounds like we've got a selection.
Yeah. Correct.
So,
yeah, as with every year, you're presented with scenarios.
I think we need to probably table this to another time, and then we'll. Is this going to affect anything if we wait another month?
No, because if it's done in July, it can be done retro or.
We need to have a resolution with a, either a number or if we can. It's got to be written into the resolution.
Okay.
It's not a, so.
Move the table.
Yeah, it's just handled the same way it has been, the way I did it last year. You picked a column, or you don't have to. You can wait and take it up another time.
So I have a motion to table it.
We have a second.
Do we have a second?
Second, yeah, Joe seconded.
All right. I think we already discussed it. So all in favor to table this motion, say aye.
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 Any opposed? The ayes have it. All right. Town of Montville hereby resolves to move $5,000 from the NIP fund balance to line item 92999-53020 in the NIP fund for public work supplies related to road cleanup, as recommended by the Public Works Solid Waste Standing Committee.
So move.
Second.
So, any discussion? All right, roll call vote, please.
Councilor Jaskowitz?
Favor.
Councilor
Lathrop? Favor.
Councilor
Sebelia? Favor.
Councilor
Butler?
Favor.
Favor.
Favor. 6-0 in favor. Item E, the town of Montville hereby resolves to increase the salary of each of the register of voters by $5,000 effective July 1st, 2024.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion?
Is this in addition to what we passed last meeting? Or
this is just the budget, we approve the money, but there's a thing because the register of voters, the town council has to approve their salary. So we budgeted it last week. Now we're approving their salary. Or we're increasing their salaries. Any other discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Councilor
Jackson?
Favor.
Councilor
Lathrop?
Favor.
Councilor
Sebelia? Favor.
Councilor
Sutter?
Favor.
Councilor
Eupnik? Favor. Councilor May? Favor. So 6-0 in favor. Item F. The town of Montville hereby resolves to approve the settlement of litigation captioned Montville Station LLC versus the town of Montville, HHB-CV-22-6074533, by reducing the fair market value established for the purpose of taxation of the property located at 2020 Route 32 from $17,439,400 to $15,900,000 for the October 1st, 2021 grand list and subsequent grand list until the next townwide revaluation of property.
So move.
Second.
Discussion.
If I can say a couple words on this item, I have a statement here from Attorney Michael Collins. They challenged the assessment, and it was brought before challenging the valuation for purposes of taxation on the property located at 2020 Route 32 that was established as part of a townwide revaluation of real estate that became effective on October of 21. The property is a strip mall in which Stop and Shop is the main tenant, along with a number of online inline stores. The fair market value, 100% of that of the town, established for the property at the time of the valuation was $17,439,400. The property owner produced an appraisal report that concluded that the market value was $13.1 million. The town engaged in an appraiser, Bob Silverstein, who provided a report indicating his opinion that the fair market value was $17,080,000. The assessor, Lucy Beat, discussed the case with Silverstein and attended a pretrial settlement conference before Judge Knox on May 30th of 24, taking into consideration the positions of the prospective appraisers and the risk of litigation. The assessor agreed, subject to the approval of the town council, to settle the case by reducing the fair market value on 2020 Route 32 to $15,900,000. This settlement is contingent upon the withdrawal of another assessment appeal brought by the same entity for the property located at 2000 Route 32, I believe that's Chili's. That property is a separate tax parcel occupied by Chili's. The fair market value of that property will remain unchanged at $1,976,200. So this is just a settlement that requires the town council approval.
So moved. All
right. Well, we already got that. We're in discussion. So any more discussion? Mm-hmm. All right. Roll call, please.
Favor.
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 Favor. So 6-0 in favor. Item G, the town of Montville hereby resolves to approve the transfer of $360,440 from the general fund balance to Board of Education account 10950-53051 on July 1st, 2024.
So move.
Second.
Discussion?
Is this new money or is this money that we had in our fund balance?
It is money that's in our fund balance, but it's actually money that the Board of Education requested for special education that came in April and May, the remaining of it. So this is money that's used for special education. It's actually a pass-through. It comes in as a grant. So the Board of Education requests money, say year one, we're gonna have this many students, so we need these resources. And then it comes in towards the end of the year, all right? So this is money that we're almost always a year behind on just because of the way it's funded to us. So it's their money. We're going to be taking out a fund balance, and it'll be immediately go into the fund balance from it. It's just a pass through.
So this won't affect the percentage of the expenditures that we had? No. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Any more discussion? All right. Roll call vote, please.
Anyone?
Joe.
Favor.
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 Favor. 6-0 favor. Okay, item H. Who has that? Is that this one? Or I'll read it. The town of Montville hereby resolves to transfer $205,611.05 into the Board of Education non-lapsing educational research fund account for fiscal year 2022-2023.
Second.
Discussion. I just want to make sure it's to transfer it to.
Just approving.
This is the transfer out of the 2% non-lapsing account.
They've been added in, that's right.
But it looks like it's, my question, it says into the Board of Education non-lapsing educational fund. Isn't that where it's coming from?
It's coming from there, but it was last year's vote.
Right.
So it's reducing 2% non-lapsing account.
I was under the impression that all we're doing is authorizing you guys to take the money out of your account and use it. That's what I thought. You're just letting us know. So this is. Right. So my question is.
So we don't need to do this.
Yeah, but you have to come to the board to get approval, don't you?
No.
It shouldn't be a resolution. So we should just say that. Agnes, may I ask your advice on something that we're just.
Why didn't you tell me that?
All we're doing is acknowledging a process. They don't let us know that they're going to do. It's a formality. So it's not a resolution that we're all, you know,
sorry,
we're.
About that.
So.
Well, that's okay, though, but I think the previous year you've done
we did,
it.
We did do that. We did it. We looked it up.
Thank you.
So just do it.
I'm not wrong all the time.
So why don't we just go ahead and approve the resolution? As it's written or what it said, unless somebody can come up with another.
It's just informational for us. We don't get a vote on it, so we receive the information and we move on to the.
Well,
next.
Actually, we do. We actually have to say it's okay to do that. We're not doing it.
No.
Well,
no.
I mean.
Nope. No.
So it's just.
So we received it. Moving on to the next item.
Just looking for documentation.
Well, we gotta kill the resolution. So let's.
Sorry about that. I ran out.
Make a motion to repeal the resolution.
I make a motion to repeal the motion, and we receive the information and we move forward.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Thank you. Sorry for the confusion. Okay, we have item I. Councilor Souther, would you care to read that, please?
Yep, the town of Montville hereby resolves to waive the general rule regarding the prohibition of the sale of alcoholic beverages at any time or in any form on town, park, and recreational areas as stated in the rules and regulations for Camp Oakdale and Fair Oaks school facilities dated April 2000 for the 2024 Farmers Market.
You bets.
So move. For purpose of discussion.
Actually, this second, if you made a motion.
Okay, sorry about that.
So, discussion?
So, we had a vendor approach us that is a craft beer and mead. They make it, and they would like to sell it at the farmers market. And they're called Ms. Beer Haven. They're veteran-owned, local. They sell at other markets, including Stonington and Ledyard. This is not something that is unusual. It is something that is done at many markets that I've been to. It does not mean that people get to drink the beer on site. That does not happen. It means you can purchase it and bring it to your home to enjoy. We feel the market feels that this would be a really great thing, real draw for some people. And, you know, there's, I don't want to say hoops they have to jump through, but this is state. The state keeps an eye on this. They have to submit some paperwork. It's just not something, the only word I could think of, it's not done willy-nilly. There's lots of things that have to be done before it could be put into place.
So I guess the reason we have this resolution before us tonight is to allow the sale of beer, or craft beers, and
mead
in this case. And it's only for this year. It's only for 2024. It's not for any extended period of time. So That's what's before us tonight.
So just to take it a little further on the history of that, I do recall, if my memory serves me correctly, in 2000, trying to control a way to control the alcohol on town property, parks and rec property. So rather than go through the ordinance process, they decided to go with the rules and regulations, thinking that if it was against the rules and regulations to have the alcohol on town property, parks and rec, that the person would just be asked to leave. You can't have it here, or get it off the property. And at that point, if the person chose not to leave with the beer or take it elsewhere, then it would be trespassing. At that point, it could be enforceable through law enforcement. So this is just a way to temporarily suspend that, so that we have a way to add another benefit to the farmers market, which is, I think, is a pretty good idea. We're controlling it by only selling it, not consuming it.
So it's not like the beer tent at the old Harvest Fest?
No, it is not.
Bringing back too many memories.
It's the first thing I thought of.
Is this going to open up for wines and hard ciders and stuff like that?
If you come forward with a resolution to the town council.
I have nothing at the time. I'm just asking if we're...
I'm just saying...
We're starting down the road. That's where I'm...
It can be. They did it in 2018. They tried to bring it back for the carnival. And they presented the resolution, and they ended up withdrawing it because they needed more research done on the effects of having the alcohol at the carnival, which could have been a problem.
When Councillor Souther approached this, she had alcoholic beverages originally. I said we need to narrow that down to actually what they're selling. Certainly, we could amend it tonight and say wine and cider if you want to include that now.
I would like to include that because we have some local vineyards and, you know.
So what's on the table is to amend it to include beer and mead and wine and hard cider.
Yeah.
Is that correct? So do we have a second on that?
Why don't you just call it alcoholic beverages?
Well, because I would just limit to that because you could get into
hard liquors. You have
get into hard. You could get into people selling like Mike's. The thing about the craft beer, the reason it's said is because it's to keep like selling Budweiser or something. They want it, the state really wants to promote craft beers and things like that. That's what liquor stores are for, or, you know, those stores. So this is for like somebody who physically brews beer, makes wine, mead, hard cider. So I think that's, I'd be reluctant to say alcoholic beverages from that standpoint. So we have let's vote on the amendment to change it. All in favor of amending the resolution?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, hearing none. Now let's vote on, if we're ready to vote, let's vote on the resolution. Roll call vote, please.
Favor.
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 Favor. So that is 6-0 to sell beer, wine, hard cider, and mead. And that leads us to the end of our night. Remarks from the public with a 3-minute limit.
Give me a second. No, I have friends that do.
Hi, my name is Rick Gladue. I live at 44 Cook Drive.
Speak up a little bit more.
My name is Rick Gladue. I live at 44 Cook Drive, been a resident for quite a long time. There was a few things that I did hear you guys talking about. One was that removing that dam on Trading Cove Brook. That's really something that should be done. I mean, it. There used to be a lot of brook trout, a lot of buckies used to go up there and spawn up there, and it's always stopped. When I was a kid, there used to be a lot of stuff in there, but that dam has killed it. Mm-hmm. And I think if they remove that, I mean, that would open that up to a species that they're trying to bring back. So that is a good thing. And if it only takes a couple letters, it's a good deal. And then also your alcohol beverage, you might want to add to that it has to be warm. If they come with cold beer, these guys are going to drink it someplace. But if it's warm, they're not going to want it. They'll bring it home. So that's just saying that. And I did take a look at the dog pound. Well, I see Animal Control Center. And it is a very large facility. It really is. I mean, there's 15 different dog runs in there. There's a very large thing for cats. I think like 8 of them. There's a special room for cats so they can go out and be exercised. And there is a grooming facility. There's another room there for a veterinarian. It is a little overkill. They do got the money for it now. I mean, okay, if you got the money, build it. But it is a little big. And there is a couple things in there that you could probably leave out. If the bids come back a little too high, there is a 125 kW generator that they want to install that you could probably leave out for now and save you quite a bit of money if the bids come back a little high. And it could be put in later. There actually is a generator down there on the facilities for the rest of the, whatever you got down there.
All public works.
Utilities, whatever it is. They have one down there. Facility right now is tied into it. There's a problem. You could probably put a transfer switch and just run a couple circuits to keep the thing running for now. I mean, you don't really lose power too often. And you could probably get in for a grant later on if it ever comes down to that. But there is a couple things that you might be able to take out if things come back a little too high and still get you building it. So I just figured I'd let that out there. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Remarks from the public.
Come on.
Good evening. Carol Burgess, 28 New Hampshire Lane in Oakdale. I just wanted to say that today the water pollution control people were on my street running a camera through the sewer system. And I was very impressed that we are actually taking a look at our systems and seeing what is so that we can make a plan to have things work properly before we have something that is urgent or emergent. And I think that it is very encouraging to see that our community is taking care of its infrastructure, and I want to congratulate both the Public Works Department for what they do and the water pollution control folks for what they do, because I think that it presents a heck of a lot of problems for us as residents, and I as a taxpayer appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Last time, remarks from the public. All right, hearing none, remarks from the counselors. Councilor Utnick.
Thank you, sir. First, I want to thank Lori Palin for your, 34 years of service to our town and our students. I really appreciate all your hard work and everything you've done over those years. Your replacement has some big shoes to fill, but I'm confident she can step into them easily enough. I also want to thank Ann and Becky and all of the people on the animal control community team. Your voices were invaluable to this process, and without you, I don't think we'd be having this conversation today. So thank you all very, very much. That's all I have.
I'll pretty much mirror that. Congratulations on your retirement. I know you got some big plans for the summer, and I hope you get to enjoy all of them. The team that came through, the purple and orange, the orange shirts, you see them everywhere. I think they're great. You guys were fantastic. You pushed through and you kept it going. And we look forward to working together with you on getting this thing built and some great pictures when it's all done. Thank you.
I'm just going to echo that as well. Thank you, Lori, and congrats on the retirement. And thank you, everyone who helped for our, you know, so we could finally get the funding for the animal control. So it's a good day, and thank you.
Councilor Jaskowitz?
Thanks, Lori. A lot of years we worked together. Thank you. Good luck. Good health. And to the committee that pushed on this, you're right. But sometimes you got to let us do our job, and you can help us. You did a great job, but you really were pushing the heck out of us. Thank you very much.
Councilor Southern?
Thank you to Superintendent Palin for everything you have done. Congratulations. Rest well. I know you need it. Thank you to, yeah, thank you to everybody who pushed for the dog. The animal control facility was a big day on Friday. And I would be remiss if I didn't say come to the carnival this weekend. It looks like it's going to be a beautiful weekend. And come to the farmer's market on Tuesday. Fingers crossed, it looks like it's going to be sunny that day as well.
Thank you.
Mayor?
Yeah, it just goes to prove that we have a few things going on in town that everybody can take advantage of. I want to point out that the work continues on the Yale Water Tower. Through a nonprofit volunteer group. We're looking for volunteers, anybody that might want to help promote it and raise donations for it. The Yale Water Tower is at 163 and Maple Avenue. And I think that it's an opportunity for the town to project our image the way it should be projected, not by a rust bucket. I want to wish everybody first of all, Lori, thank you so much. It's been great working with you, and best of luck on your retirement. And welcome, Diane. Help me on the last name. Yes. Welcome aboard and your new position. Thank you. Happy 4th of July. It's coming up, and we won't be meeting again until after that. So happy 4th of July, everybody. Have a safe holiday when that comes up, and looking forward to seeing you all again.
So, thank you, Mayor. So, I just want to say we got a lot done this month. It's been a tough month, but it also worked out really well. And I want to congratulate, and I really appreciate all the hard work that a lot of people did. The animal control folks, the family, you guys came together. You've got a good working relationship. You did a lot of things, moving things forward. But I do want to point out that the mayor did an extremely amount of hard work on this. He met with the governor twice and then on this, and the mayor didn't even know, the governor didn't know anything about this, which was pretty remarkable. So you guys showing up and meeting with all the people and the mayor talking to these people and getting Kathy Austin and Holly Cheeseman and Martha Marks, they all said that we made a big difference. So good job. And I just want to say the budget's in good shape. At last minute, everything's came through, and we're looking good for next year. So with that, I'd like
to motion to adjourn.
Second.
Jeez, Joe must have got to go somewhere. Motion to adjourn.
Next time they do that with the letter, all they got to put it on here for